Good afternoon, I'm Chris Terrell. I'm here with DailyFantasySportsRankings.com and Rotoballer.com. I'm with Austin Dillon for the Daytona 500 Media Day. First of all, I'd like to thank you for your time, for doing this interview. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your day. So I guess my first question, what age did you start paying attention to racing, and like, who was your favorite driver when you were younger?
Well, it was pretty young age, going to the track with my grandfather. I was kind of born at the racetrack with my dad too, so really young age, but enjoying racing from the time I was a kid till now. So a lot of experience in it, being at different tracks, going to different racetracks, short tracks, everywhere across America.
So I'd imagine, like, when did you realize that you really wanted to do racing as a profession? I imagine it was young too.
Yeah, well, actually I think it was a little later than most, because I played other stick and ball sports and had to play baseball, basketball, football, and soccer, a little bit of everything. My family wanted me to try other things because we were known for racing, and they just wanted me to make sure I could try it. So when we got to racing and being serious about it, I was probably 15, 16 years old. My first real race, I think, would be my Bandolero race in Charlotte, and I was about 15. So I'd say when I knew that I had the bug was right then, 15 years old.
Oh, right on. Okay, a couple of questions just kind of geared around the off season. Like, after a long race season, after the final race of the season, do you like to get away, spend time with family, or is it more racing and race prep for the upcoming season?
There's a little bit of race prep in there, but I like to get away and hang out with my family and friends and get out and do different things that I don't get to do on the weekends when we're racing. So I love any kind of sport, so I'm always trying to do something competitive, and staying active is another big part of my lifestyle.
In the off season, do you tend to go back and watch film? Like, when you're prepping for the upcoming season, do you go back and watch film, kind of see what maybe worked at different tracks and what didn't work? Or is it more of just going over, like, notes from the previous season and car setups and stuff for different tracks?
So, we go over notes and setups and things that work, things that didn't work. And Any way we can make our cars faster in off season is also very key. You know, working on the car and myself also at certain tracks on the simulator. But then before the races, you usually go over the previous race that you had the past year and go over bullet points of what you could do to change what worked for certain guys that you wouldn't have suspected that worked.
Right on. And then when you're prepping for the upcoming season, do you really strategize for multiple tracks, or is it more just a focus on the Daytona 500?
Multiple tracks. You know, Daytona 500 is obviously the first one, so there's a lot of prep that goes into this race. But each week before the race happens, we sit down and we go over the race and get a good preview of what happened in the previous one.
Cool. And then reflecting back on last season, just like to get your thoughts on the stage racing and maybe possibly if it puts a lot more emphasis on winning.
Stage racing is it's very cool, and it's kind of changed our game a little bit. It does put a lot of emphasis in a lot of pressure on you to do well in throughout the race. You know, those bonus points really add up toward the end of the year. I think it's cool. It also, for fantasy aspect, you know, there's another scoring system that you can add to it for points. So I really enjoy the stages. I was a big proponent of it, and enjoy it. And hopefully this year we can gain more stage points than we did last year.
Right on. And then just going into the new season, what are your thoughts on the new pit road rules this season with the five crew members over the wall? And do you think teams are going to have different strategies early in the year?
You know, this first class, there was already a lot of different styles being used, and people are already looking at what worked and what didn't work. And, I'm really excited to see, you know, the progression of this pit stop and see where it goes. But it's exciting. I tell you, the athletes that we have to make this pit stop happen, they are really athletes. I mean, these guys got to get it done, and they're doing a lot in a short period of time. So you're gonna get to know teams that are really fast and know guys on that team, and I think that's cool because it kind of gets you inside scoop of each person on that team and what they're doing, what they're having to go through each and every stop.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of interchanging, you know, say guys don't work, a lot of new guys coming in throughout the year, just to find that right mix of the five crew?
Oh, I'm sure there'll be changes. There always is. You know, certain guys work better together and certain guys progress, because this has been a real quick turnover from previous year to this year. So there's going to be guys that step up and pick up their game as the year goes on.
Cool. And for this new rule, does it affect you a lot in how you enter and exit the pit when you're coming in?
Yeah, you got to really be good on your entry. Entry is more key than the exit. Stopping where your front changer comes out, you want to be right on where he stops. So you try and want to be in sync with that front changer to allow him to get set and place his tire to get going.
Right on. And then just on the new ride height rule here at the restrictor plate tracks, you were out front of the Clash. Does it make it harder to change lanes, especially, you know, when you are out front and you're trying to block that fast lane? Is it a lot harder handling the car?
I don't think it's too much harder. I mean, I think you get huge runs from the guy behind you. They seem to be able to pick up you and push you kind of where they want. So the second place guy should be more passing come Sunday, because the guy seemed like you could really make a run faster than a guy could block you. But the guys that are good at blocking are still going to be doing it.
Right. Well, that's going to make it more exciting for sure then. And then just some fantasy-related questions. Just want to know if you do play fantasy sports, and outside of NASCAR, what are your favorite fantasy sports to play?
Yeah, so I was playing a lot of DFS stuff for a while, and I kind of switched over to the new draft app. I like the snake drafts and getting to draft a different team every day, and it's not based on salary cap. So yeah, I'm on there and playing it a lot of basketball right now, and when football comes back around, I'll be on it. So that's my favorite. And then as far as like season long stuff, I do have a couple leagues. I'm in like 6 leagues. Usually use Yahoo or whatnot for that. Big family league that's 16 teamer, and that's my favorite league to be a part of. Yeah.
Yeah. You mean when you know people that you're playing in the league, it's a lot more competitive that way for sure. And then just what is your opinion on fantasy, NASCAR, fantasy sports in general, and how it affects maybe bringing in a new fan base, new fans to the sport, overall effect of fantasy on the sport?
Well, fantasy is huge, and I hope to get more and more people involved in NASCAR to enjoy the fantasy side of it. And now, like I said, with stages, and maybe one day they can start picking out pit crews to add to it. I think that's something cool, because you're going to know all the rosters each and every week and who's going to be there and who's not. So I think that's something that can really change our game, because, you know, most sports now, I mean, people are watching them because of fantasy. And NASCAR needs to get more involved in it, and I think that's the direction we can start going with the changes that we've made to our sport.
Right on. I'd love to see something to do with the pit crews, because, I mean, even here, them talking on the broadcast and stuff this year, they're going to be talking a lot more about those crew members, who each guy is, where they came from. So, yeah, I think implementing that would be really huge into the sport for sure.
I mean, the draft app that I play is really simple. It's a snake draft, and you could throw in a pit crew spot in there. It would be really sweet.
Yeah, it'd be easy to add for sure. And then kind of on a social media note, when it comes to fantasy, some people really push the limits when it comes to communication with drivers, any professional athlete in any sport, really, especially when it comes to poor performances or something, when talking about their own fantasy leagues and their own lineups. How do you deal with those bad apples on social media?
Yeah. I don't even mess with them. I love it. It's kind of cool. You know, it's going to happen, and it's part of fantasy sports. You know, I get frustrated when somebody doesn't show up in the game that I picked and felt like he was the guy that's going to make it happen. But it's just a part of it, and you take it on the chin and keep moving.
Cool. And then I just as a fantasy writer, do a lot of cheat sheets, analyzing the stats when it comes to NASCAR. So I guess my question would be, I kind of discount the practice one, and on a normal race weekend where your practice one and qualifying are on Friday, final practices are on Saturday, I kind of discount that first practice, as it feels like you guys, most teams anyway, will sit the car up for qualifying to get a qualifying run, and then I really concentrate on the data and practice two, practice three, 10 lap averages, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, you're on the right track there. I mean, I think you can tell who's got fast cars by those 10 lap averages, and in the second and third practice, usually people step up. And you're right, this year more than ever is going to be, probably most cars will be in qualifying trim off the truck because they've shortened practice. So more than ever now, the first practice will be kind of a throwaway. And qualifying does matter, you know, leading laps and being up front. So, but to me, the fastest cars usually show up in the second, third practices. You know who's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, awesome.
I like history, too. I like going off of history of people that are usually good at certain places are good there.
I look at kind of the last 2 years history, and then I kind of compare that to career track history, just to kind of see, you know, if you're trending over your career track history versus your current track history, stuff like that. And then how big of an advantage is it for, say, the bigger teams, teams of the alliances, sharing information during practices?
Oh, it's always pretty key, you know, but everyone thinks they're right. So sometimes it's tough to get a bunch out of those meetings and stuff. But, you know, everyone kind of tweaks their own car their own way in the end. But there's a lot of information shared between teams also.
Yeah, actually, I was reading up on how the teams are going to be sharing from seeing other teams' data, yeah. You know, RPM, throttle braking, that kind of stuff this year. So it's going to be a bit of a change. I mean,
yeah.
If you have the technology, you're going to be able to see that information anyway.
Yeah.
Just wasn't as, I guess, public
right.
out there. So I guess my final question is, how big of it for you personally would it be to win the Daytona 500 on Sunday?
Oh, it'd be huge. You know, it's the 20th anniversary of when Dale won here in 98, and I was there, and have a shot to win this one 20 years later. And, it's really special, so hopefully I can go back to victory lane.
Well, good luck, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay.